Thank you, Marie-Pierre. I have 9 questions to ask you, starting with the first one. You often say that we can borrow energy from time. Can you explain how we can achieve this objective?
Sure, and thanks for having me. As long as you see time as a concept, without texture or effect, that sentence actually makes no sense. But remember, when you see time as a force, you can compare it to a friend or an enemy, as a matter of fact, depending on the year. If you need to move from one apartment to another, you may borrow energy, muscles, strength from a friend by asking him or her to come and help you carry your boxes. Borrowing energy from time means aligning your action with the right time. A farm time, seeds are planted when the soil has warmed up after the winter. Harvest is done at time of harvest, not before. The Western culture has gone such a long way, obliterating our connection with seasons, natures, and instincts, I think, that we act when we want to or have to, not necessarily when it is wise to do so. This is why I think accident, frustration, and failures happen. It's not always a matter of you doing the wrong thing. It's the matter of doing it at the wrong time, sometimes for too long.
Thank you for that. Question number 2. Where does energy come from? And what or who coordinated towards manifestation, or it's flowing one direction or another?
All is energy, right? What Einstein meant is another version of the Chinese way to recognize energy in everything. A constant attention has to be set on places, objects, people, moments that carry the type of energy that best feeds your vitality. In some relationships, one may be getting more energy from a garden, a cat, or a book than with the spouse. For me, hearing a bird and therefore living in a place where there are birds gives me more energy than living in a modern city. Energy is fuel to achievement. I cannot explain where the energy, the life energy in your first cells at conception came from. The Chinese answer would be it came from the universe, as a way to say something that is bigger than us. What matters is actually to have it, to feed it, to protect it. This life energy leaves our body when we die. Where to? Who knows?
Perfect. Next question is, what is your advice in getting a full 8-hour sleep as a source to receive energy? Do you think there's an alternative way to physically and mentally get energy?
Sleep is one of the 3 conditions for a body to thrive towards optimal state, along with the quality of the gut, which means digestion, and making sure we engage in daily physical movement. It does not need to be a strenuous sport. Daily tour, if you can walk around the block, that will do. The number of hours of sleep varies greatly according to people. More is not better, but too little is not good. So we tend to think that bad sleep, I think that's what behind your question, is caused by worries. I often say that a bad digestive system, because we do not move enough, eat too fast, eat too much processed food, eat while standing, walking, driving, etc., creates a stagnation of qi in the gut that induces brain fog and negative thoughts. There's a book to read on this, actually. It's by Michael Gerson called The Second Brain. And I think it's very useful to even the topic we're discussing. You cannot bypass sleep, but doing what you love and living in a place you cherish is certainly a way to gain energy and then sleep well.
Mm-hmm. Clear. What is the unit measurement of energy and how do you quantify it?
Okay. I would say that the energy I'm talking about is life energy. It's called qi in Chinese, qi in Japanese. So anyone who's done martial art would recognize this. So it does not come in watts, pounds, or horsepower. You have more or less of it. Someone who's dragging down, demotivated, has a low level of life energy. Someone who jumps out of bed and is enthusiastic about his or her day has a high level of energy. Even if we all are all different, born with different DNA in different environments and cities and places, we have the responsibility to consolidate the qi that was given to us at birth. How? Again, by identifying what feeds our energy level and gradually shifting our habits, choices towards what replenishes us, what feeds us. One way, this could be useful, one way to measure the energy level is joy. How joyful are you in anything you do? Pay attention to the quality of your day. You ask about quantity. My answer is stressing the quality aspect of our daily routines. This requires a conscious effort at first, then some discipline and courage so you don't let go. At some point, it becomes easy and life becomes more joyful, for sure.
Okay. And when feeling stuck at all levels of your life, how do you find answers in time and space?
I see where this is coming from, and thank you also for this question. So let me say it this way. You know, what we've learned from COVID time and confinement is that what we do now has an impact in 2 weeks from now, 2 months, 2 years. This means that what you experience now, feeling stuck, for example, is somewhat related to situations and choices that you've encountered 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years ago. No storm stays forever. Know it, remember it. Depending on the situation, and of course every situation is unique, one can still fly back in your mind, in one's mind, to a time when things were better. Then you bring back those action items to implement that in your future. An example is that you really remember how joyful you were when you were with an animal, a pet you had as a kid. I'm not saying on top of everything else you do, get a new pet now, but reconnect with the joy of then and project it in the future. It could be as simple as this. Also, identify the place you would like to be and see every day, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, what can be done to very slowly move toward it. It took me 40 years to live next to the ocean. Until then, I tried never to live in a place where there was no bathtub. It's ridiculous, yes, but it was effective. You know, the mistake is to underestimate the value and effectiveness of these little steps towards getting unstuck, done every day. You are currently like someone who's moving too big a piece of furniture through, let's imagine, a spiral staircase, and you are stuck. Okay, I've experienced it, absolutely. It's horrible and panicking. But remember, no one has ever been stuck in a staircase forever. Find ways to escape to places that make you feel good. It's too far away? Okay, have a picture of the place as a screensaver or in your cell phone. It's like one little step after another one. Long term, even short term, it can create miracles.
Makes sense. Okay, and you mentioned, for example, about energy associated with different months, say a month of September in terms of decision-making process. To be more productive, quote unquote, productive, shall we read and study about energies associated with each month in a year from somewhere?
Yes, of course. If you can access that data, you will have additional insights. This is why I shared this info, you know, in a short 10-minute video every month on YouTube. But do not watch it and then ignore anything else that has been said and my other recommendation. My work is about empowering your own ability to see and feel, not to have you become dependent. So if you can trust your instinct, you will move in the right direction. One could say, in spite of months that bring wind against your sail.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for this interesting and understanding of the time and energy. But tell me, how can one catch the right time to be able to take an advantage of the energy that it's present at that time?
So again, in the absence of experience and data about the cycle, the Chinese cycles of years and months and their respective energy, we have to develop an understanding of who we are and try to understand what are the conditions that feeds our energy level. This is key. You know, I often suggest to pay attention to the moments of the day when you feel more productive and stick to it. You will soon realize, I'm sure, when, where, do what, and with whom you are more able to gather forces, and also where, when, doing what, and with whom you are more inclined to lose your energy. If we have to be brave, no matter what, we end up adapting to environments and situations that are actually depriving us from vitality. Occasionally, for a short term, it's okay. Long term, this paves the way to a weaker immune system, opening the door to health issues. I do not recommend too much adaptation to environments that are not feeding your energy.
All right. And how do you differentiate between an obstacle to overcome from a path that is not your path altogether to start with?
Good question. I mean, thank you for all these questions, actually. Yeah. It could be the inner feeling that we often dismiss, that something is not right in the choice or in the decision we're engaging. I often have people who telling me that they knew from day one when they signed a purchase of a place that it would not be the right house for them, but yet they still signed it. And they have all the good reasons to do so. But my take here is that they knew it. So this feeling that something is not right would indicate, if we have it, that we already connected with ourselves. The question is, how often do we act on it? Sometimes, though, I think nothing can tell you the difference because there's some learning involved in either path. Gradually, you become more attuned with the answer once you realize your responsibility to protect your energy, again, which is life force. You owe this to yourself. And truly, it takes courage to do the right thing for oneself when society, you know, your colleagues, your friends, the family are asking you to do things that depletes your energy level. So let's just think, you know, another vacation with people you do not actually enjoy being with, for example. Socializing with people you don't feel you have a lot in common. Choosing a great job or high-paying job while experiencing some like high level of stress. Saying no to situations like these is not easy. I know it. But it's necessary if you intend to invest in our well-being. And as the Chinese would say, in your longevity.
Great. And my final question, how do we prevent people from using this know-how, knowledge, technique as a crutch, as an excuse to become lazy, to take necessary and appropriate action in the movement, in a moment, to make things happen?
Well, I wish people would pay more attention to the condition leading to their well-being, even in the name of laziness. You know, I see too many people in burnout or depression because they try too hard to do the right thing, pushing themselves again and again towards life choice they regret, or job that do not satisfy them, or places that are, you know, that look great, but they don't like to be there. So taking time off or even staying in bed can protect you from mental exhaustion. As Westerners, you know, I think we've been fed with the idea that doing more and more is best. Buying more is good. And remember, I live in the US. We do not tolerate emptiness, an empty schedule, an empty weekend, an empty vacation. But nothing new can come out of an overloaded week or overloaded desk or mind. And a kid, you know, a kid will never, you know, was never bored, will not develop the imagination and the ideas needed to build a better world. The world of tomorrow needs you in top shape. So I start now. And now.
Thank you. Thank you, Marie-Pierre. Much appreciated.
Thanks.
Thanks for your time.